Good evening, everyone. So pretty much everyone knows me, but for those that don't, I'm Corin. If you can't tell from my accent, I'm not from around here. I'm from New Zealand originally, but I've lived in Belfast for the last 16 years. I'm married to Caroline, who's somewhere about. Les has asked me to explain how I became a Christian. So let me just be clear from the outset. If you're expecting some down on my knees where I bargain with God dramatic moment, you're going to be disappointed. Growing up, church didn't exist for me in New Zealand. I was brought up in an atheistic household, and my parents were pretty scathing, particularly about Christianity, but all religions. I never went as far out as flat out not believing in a higher power, but if there was a God, he certainly wasn't a dude in white robes with a long flowing beard. I guess I could most accurately have been described as an agnostic, meaning I didn't really know what I thought, and I'll also admit to not putting too much thought into it. I was never really forced to consider for more than a few moments, and I never had the desire to look at it in any detail. Life was pretty good for me. I grew up in a loving home. We weren't rich, but we never went without. I was brought up to be independent and to think for myself, and my life view was literally, life is what you make of it. No one could dictate where they started, but they could definitely influence how their journey was going to go, barring just really bad luck, basically. And if you get the picture, I was in control of my own life. If something needed fixing, then I relied on myself and only myself to fix it. I didn't think I needed anyone, and I expected to be all right. I had some Christian friends growing up, and whilst I respected their opinions and the decision to believe what they wanted, I also didn't see what they were saying to me had any bearing on how I should live my life. I'm going to fast forward several years to keep you from passing out through boredom, but eventually I met my wife and relocated to Belfast. And in 2012, a colleague of mine invited me to a men's event at his church, which is this church. I don't think I actually would have gone to this men's event except that it was a sports day. Mm-hmm. I happen to love sports, so I agreed, fully knowing that I'd need to sit through some do-gooder trying to get me to see the light. And I went, and I enjoyed the day, and I went along to the next event a few months later, having realized there was no hard sell at the end of it. So this carried on for a couple of years, and at each of these events, somebody got up and spoke about some aspect of their faith, and at each of these events, I politely paid attention and then resumed my life, almost completely unaffected by it. And that was until a night when Stephen Shaw was invited to speak. I'll never pretend to be as eloquent as Stephen was that night, but let me try and paraphrase what he said. He said there was a guy called Jesus Christ. Okay, so far so good. Jesus Christ claimed to be the Son of God and that he would be killed and resurrected on the third day. Stephen then threw some hard logic at me and everyone else there. He said that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is paramount to the tenets of biblical Christianity. If the resurrection didn't happen, Christianity falls like a house of cards. So basically, the resurrection either happened or it didn't. Now, if it didn't happen, follow this sequence through. Jesus was a liar and a charlatan, and the Bible even acknowledges that you should feel sorry for Christians for being caught up in this lie. The lie would be that Jesus somehow escaped his physical death, either his corpse was squirreled away, or he never died in the first place. In other words, the resurrection was a con of the highest magnitude. Paul's pretty clear where he writes in 1 Corinthians about this, and he says that Christians are professing the truth, or they need to be pitied most amongst all men. So that's if it didn't happen. But if it did happen, there's nothing more important to have ever happened in history. If the resurrection happened, then it changes everything. It just so happened that the resurrection was a pretty big hurdle for me to come to grapple with as a non-believer. How on earth could somebody be raised from the dead? I'm not talking about sci-fi here. I'm talking really genuinely somebody coming back from the dead. The resurrection as an event just sounded extremely far-fetched. Pressed for time that night, Stephen challenged the audience to investigate it further, and he recommended two separate books, which I'll come to in a second. I made a note of them. And I thought I owed it to myself at least to look into it further and at least to put the debate to bed in my mind once and for all. So I need to disclose that I was pretty sure that I'd still find a catch, something that everyone else had missed. I was extremely skeptical that the resurrection took place, and everything inside of me said that there must be some alternative explanation. So one of the books was written by an atheist lawyer by the name of Frank Morrison. Unless your eyes are really good, you're not going to see this book. I'm holding a book up here. It's called Who Moved the Stone? And in that book, Frank Morrison set out to disprove the resurrection once and for all. However, in the course of the project, he then actually became a believer. And the reason for this was that ultimately he could not find a plausible explanation for how the resurrection could not have happened. I know there's a couple of double negatives in there, but just stay with me. Still, I thought I'd read the book and have several questions or assumptions about assumptions that were made in it. Or in other words, I thought it would be some glad handing of the whole affair and that it would be littered with holes in his reasoning. I read it again, and for good measure, I read it one more time. What I was doing was looking for any out, things that would allow me to argue a contrary point or to find weaknesses in his argument. So, lo and behold, not only could I not find any, but he went into areas I hadn't even considered. It was like it was a chess game and Frank Morrison was about 10 moves ahead of me at all times. The renowned author, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle of Sherlock Holmes fame, is credited as saying, "Once you eliminate the impossible, whatever remains, no matter how improbable, must be the truth." So, when presented with compelling evidence that's contrary to my opinion, I'm smart enough to reserve the right to change my mind. I don't need to start screaming that black is white in the face of overwhelming proof. If you do, you're still not right and you look like an idiot. So in the end, I accepted the inevitable truth that the resurrection did in fact happen. Again, let's follow that logic on. If the resurrection has happened, once that's accepted, there's only one rational decision or reaction to have, and that is to follow Jesus and accept him as Lord and Savior. I was not, if you cannot tell by now, looking to be a Christian, but ironically, it's the best decision I ever made. Every single one of you has a brain in your head and the ability to form an opinion. I would strongly to encourage you to follow the evidence for yourself. I'd also strongly encourage anyone who has questions about the veracity of this resurrection to read Frank Morrison's book, Who Moved the Stone? And there's another book here, again, probably can't read it from there. It's called Case for Christ by Lee Strobel. It's worth mentioning that both of these books were written by atheists, one a lawyer and the other a crime journalist, who set out to disprove the resurrection. In the end, after exhaustive investigation, they were both convinced that it happened. But like I said, don't take my word for it. Look at the evidence for yourself. And if the resurrection did happen, as I believe, then there is nothing more important in the world. Not yesterday, not today, and not tomorrow. Coming off notes for one brief second, I said earlier on here, I could do everything for myself as a non-believer, and the level of comfort that I now have knowing I don't have to do everything for myself is the biggest piece of peace that I could ever have. Like I said, I encourage you to have a look at it for yourselves, and if anyone wants a copy of those books, let me know. Thank you.